Yes. Are we ready? Get your Bibles if you have them. We're going to go in a direction. We'll see what he's going to do. Lord, interrupt us at any time today. Can you just give the Lord permission to interrupt you? Interrupt your agenda, interrupt our plans, and we just say, Lord, come and mess us up. Hallelujah. God, mess us up from the floor up. Hallelujah. Throw out our agendas and our pre-planned ideas, anything that's not a God idea and been birthed by your Spirit. Just bulldoze that over. Hallelujah. And have your way in this place. Glory to God. Grab your Bibles and look at this text with me, Exodus chapter 15. In fact, I don't think I'm even going to share the entirety of this message, because in just a few moments, I believe we're just going to allow the Spirit of the Lord to minister. But I do believe there's part of this message that is for you, and that it's a consistent theme for what is already being done here today. Hallelujah. So look over at somebody near you and tell them to get ready. I mean, don't go to sleep. Don't get bored. Don't think about what you have to do when you leave here. Don't think about the snow coming down outside or anything other thing that could cross your mind or what might be happening on Facebook. But just for this moment, for this time together, can we just get ourselves ready for whatever the Lord would want to do? Amen. That whatever He needs to speak to our hearts or touch us with or fill us with, that we would just allow Him to do that today in this place. And so there's a great amount of things from this text that I wanted to have the opportunity to point out, but let's just allow Him to speak and to minister to us today. Amen? And so maybe I'll share it in its entirety next week, but we're just ultimately going to let Him have His way. Praise God. So are you ready? All right, because it's important, I want us to look at this, Exodus chapter 15. Let's look at verse 19. Hallelujah. Verse 19, and we'll read through 27. And it says, "For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. But then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, 'Sing unto the Lord, for He has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider He has thrown into the sea.' So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days into the wilderness and found no water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, 'What shall we drink?' So he cried to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. When he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statue and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, 'If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases on you, which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you.' Then they came to Elam, where there were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees. And so they encamped there by the waters." Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Get ready. There's so much to unpack in this word, but thank the Lord. He's going to speak to us today exactly what I believe that we need for this moment that we are in. Hallelujah. Will you pray with me, Father? Help us. Father, I thank you that your anointing would be released in this moment. And that, Lord, you would do and accomplish everything that, Lord, heaven desires in this place. Father, we just place our will and our agenda. We place the moments of this service into your hands. God, I thank you that you would move or move me. God, let that be our prayer. God, move or move me. That God, we would just be out of your way today. That, Lord, you can get the glory. That, Lord, you can get the praise. And, Lord, everything that you desire to accomplish will be done right now in the name of Jesus. And we're going to give you the praise for it in your name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I want to create an atmosphere. Cynthia, will you put that on? Hallelujah. I know we do that at the end, but we just need to be ready. I believe so much that we create an atmosphere for him to move. A lot of people don't understand that. We do that with worship and sounds and music. There are certain chords on the keyboard that just do various things. And so I just want to create an atmosphere for him to move. How many of you know sometimes we come to church week after week and we don't see a change in an area that we need to change? But I just believe that we need to consider that is not normal. That's not normal. It's not normal to go to church and not see change. To not see miraculous things take place. To not see deaf ears open and blind that I see. That is normal in the kingdom of God. Normal. And so many times we just get accustomed to coming in the same way and going out the same way and having the same battle when you leave that you came in with. Set that aside right now and just determine that you may have walked in here in a desert, but you are going to walk out of here dancing in your desert. Hallelujah. Are you hearing me? You may be in a desert season right now. I know that things are rough. I know that things are bleak. I know that gas is expensive and milk is expensive. I know all the things that are going on. Our heating bills are up, all of those things. And there's a lot of pressure in life. On top of that, some of us are sick and wounded. Some of us are dealing with old battles and things that have gone on for years. But if you can just allow yourself in this moment to receive from the heavens, I promise you that you will leave this place today dancing in the desert that you feel like you're about to die in. Hallelujah. That's what we're reading in this text. So get ready. That's why I said get ready. Thank you, Jesus. There's some amazing things about this text that I won't take the time to point them all out because he's going to move in a few minutes. And the first thing that I don't want you to miss is that is really important about this entire text is that I want you to notice that the women, not the men, I've always said and I've always taught that anytime God gets ready to do something brand new, he'll always raise up a woman. Because women are the birthers. Come on, somebody. Women, you don't just birth in the natural, but you birth spiritually as well. I'm telling you the truth. Every time God has done something extraordinary, every great revival and move of God first was birthed by a woman. And so notice in the text that the Bible says that the women, Miriam and the women, grabbed their timbrels or their tambourines. And they begin to dance on the edges or the banks of the river. Now, let me remind you what just happened. They were being chased by Pharaoh and his army of 600 chariots. So they had just come through a life-altering, gripped with fear moment in their life where they could hear the hooves and the footprints of not just the soldiers, but those horses barreling in behind them. And yet God parted the waters. Remember, the Bible says that he parted it so much and so well, for even as you study it, for miles the water parts. Allows them to cross over on dry ground. In other words, no mud on their feet. How many of you know when God brings you through something that he'll bring you through and there won't even be any residue of where you'd been? Come on. Hallelujah. I'm grateful and thankful. You know what I mean. When we go into the gas station and you go and you pump gas and you get done pumping, how you get back in the car and you can smell the residue of the pump. Uh-huh. But see, what God wants you and I to understand about him is that when he cleanses you and I and he wipes you and I clean, that there is not even a hint of residue. You can't smell your past like you can the gasoline. Are you hearing me? That's what we can see with the parting of the Red Sea right there. There's no residue, no mud on your feet, no history of where you've been and what you've been through. Thank you, Jesus. That's how God delivers you. Amen. And so they bring them, they cross over on dry ground. No mud on their feet. And when they get there, the text that we pick up at is talking about how Miriam and the rest of the women, thank God for the women of our lives, amen, they begin to dance on what used to have a hold on them. The Bible says that they begin to dance on the horses and the swords and the shields and the dead bodies of everything that was after them. Are you starting to see something today? They begin to dance on it. And you need to understand something also about these people. They didn't just dance like these cute dances like we do in the church. You know, these things that you dance more radical when you didn't know Jesus, right? You shook your booty and broke it down and twerked in the world. I know some of you are like, what's twerking? Don't play. Don't play like you don't know, Geneva. Uh-huh. Surely then when we get into his presence, you know, we can break it down a little bit more. Right? We're singing, "This is how we overcome," and you're all trying to act all dignified. Why? The Bible says if you'll study out their dancing, it was a tribal dance. Right? It was tribal. It was colorful. Uh-huh. They didn't just stand there and dance around, but really, as you study it, they danced on the dead bodies of Pharaoh and everyone else in that army, celebrating what God had just brought them from, what God had just rescued them from. Notice that what's interesting is that Miriam and these women brought their tambourines with them into the desert even while they were running for their lives. Tell me they didn't know what was important. Tell me they didn't understand the value of their praise, thinking, I know that we might be on the run, but there's still a place for my praise. Oh God, see, if the church could just get a hold of the importance of our praise and the atmosphere that creates, notice it wasn't their prayer, it was their praise that moved God. Uh-huh. And so the Bible says that they danced on what used to dance on them. Thank you, Lord. They went into the desert. They really were running for their lives. They were running for their lives. And yet, what I also want to remind you of is, remember, these are the same people that had been estranged from God for 400 years. Let me help you remember what that means. It means that they had been under the control of the Egyptians so long that as 400 years go by and generation after generation, every generation they lost a little bit of understanding and accuracy of the theology of who God really was. How do I know that? Well, the proof is that when they were called to build an image of God, the image that they built, the Bible says, looked like what the Egyptians would build. Uh-huh. And so they didn't have the understanding that even we do, but it was watered down and it was skewed. And the Bible says they were estranged. They hadn't worshiped him in 400 years. Not a song. They were in captivity. They were slaves and they were sold from one place to another. Sometimes it's easy to lose your praise when you feel like you're surrounded. But the Bible says that when they cried out, it's right here in the text just before that we focus on today. The Bible says that when they cried out, God said to Moses, "I've heard the cries of my people." See, in other words, you and I can never get so far from God that he doesn't still hear our cry. Are you hearing me? That we can never mess up so badly, don't matter how long it's been, that he doesn't still hear the cries of his people, but that he knows your cry, just like a mother and a father knows the wounded cry of a child. You know the difference between a whiny, complaining, murmuring cry of your child and the blood-curdling cry of a kid that's in pain. And there was blood. You know before you ever see it that there's blood. God heard the cries of his people. And he told Moses, I have heard the cries of my people, and I will bring you out and bring you out well. In other words, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you good. And so they cross the Red Sea. I'm going to summarize and cram this all into these couple minutes. They cross the Red Sea, and they dance on what used to hold them captive. I mean, every sickness or disease among them, it wasn't holding them down at that moment. Listen to me. These women weren't just in captivity and slaves, but these women were raped. Follow me now. And yet here they are. They just have seen the hand of God delivering them and all that they've been through. And the Bible says that they begin to dance on everything that used to persecute them, everything that had a hold of them. And right in the middle of the desert, a place where you and I never could possibly have the energy or the ability, and we yearn for water, and many people wouldn't survive if they were there, they begin to dance and dance aggressively and give praise to God for what he has just delivered them from, because they were able to see Pharaoh and his mighty army and every horse and all the weapons floating in the water. Because the Bible says that when they began to cross over behind the children of Israel, that God said to the winds and to the water to push back. Why? Because he heard the cries of his people. We read they moved on a little bit further to a place called Mara. And they're in the desert and they needed something to drink. How many have ever just been desperate for God to move? Desperate for him to do something? Desperate for him to answer? Come on. Desperate. I remember several years ago, I was in a desperate place. I mean, desperate. Brandon, Cindy, and I, and a few others, Michelle, Wynn. And I just needed God to move. We had church Sunday morning, and I knew I needed something. So we left and we went to a church in Maryland that I knew. We got there and it wasn't there. In fact, we got there and it was so not there, we all started looking at one another and said, we gotta go. I'm serious, we left 15 minutes in. We've got to go. This is not the right place at the right time. And I was so desperate. I was almost hysterically desperate. So we drove from Western Maryland to Grafton, West Virginia, to a friend of mine's church, and I said, God, I just have to believe that the answer that I need will be there when I get there. So we get there and assemble ourselves in the pews, and they get done with worship, and then suddenly the pastor gets up and says, I'm not going to preach tonight. And I thought, man, God, not again. I said, God, please. He said, instead, Brother Rocky's going to preach. We're here, let's just wait and see. All of a sudden, Brother Rocky got up and he said,
He said, I had a whole other message planned. But he said, about 4 o'clock, God told me to change the word. Because somebody just needed to hear two words. Look up. And right there in my pew, I remember I felt like jelly and I melted in my seat. Because it was the two words that I needed God to remind me of. He preached the message, and when he gave that altar call, I don't even remember how I got out of my seat. I just remember when I got in the center aisle of that church, everything got woozy. I didn't make it to the front, I don't think, before the Lord laid me down. And eventually, some of the men came and started ministering. And I never forget what they whispered in my ear. I was desperate. I say that to remind you that it doesn't matter what your desert experience looks like. God sees our desperation and that he will answer that. In the text, they were in a desperate place and they were thirsty. They were in a place called Marah, and the Bible says that they attempted to try to drink the water, but it was bitter. And it would have made them sick to drink. So, of course, the children of Israel began to complain. You know, like we do, when everything's not right. God speaks to Moses, tells Moses, I want you to throw a tree into the water. You got to remember something, that, and don't miss this like a lot of people would. The tree is a symbol of Calvary. The Bible lets us understand that when Moses threw the tree into the water, it absorbed every impurity that made the water bitter. In the same manner that the cross of Christ absorbs everything in your life that is bitter or wrong or messed up. Are you starting to hear what I'm saying? And so they were able to drink of the water. God, there's so much here I'd lay out for you if I had the chance, but I want to get to this right here. They go on a few days more into the desert to a place of Elam. And the Bible said in the text that we read that it was a place of 12 wells and 70 palm trees. 12 wells, not ponds or creeks, that were made naturally. They were wells that somebody had dug. Wells that someone had gone before they got there and dug, because God knew there was going to come a time where the children of Israel were going to arrive, and God said, I'm going to prepare a place for them when they're in their greatest place of need. Right in the middle of the desert, right in the middle of a desperate time. Right in the middle of a moment where they're wondering where their next drink of water is going to come from. He said, I want them to know that all the while that they've been in captivity, and even all the while that they weren't serving me and worshiping me, I was preparing a place. And I want you to sort of get the idea that I'm sharing with you, is that there were 12 wells and the Bible says 70 palm trees. In the middle of a desert, I don't know about you, but it does sound like God created and prepared a resort. How many of you know? Some of us like to travel the world and go to some of the nice resorts, right? We like to go to Fiji or somewhere where they have pretty water and a little hut floating on the water. And yet God prepares this a sort of resort for them right in the middle of the desert. A place of water and a place of palm tree. What does this mean? Because God knew that they had been going through it. God knew that they had been suffering in the heat of the desert. And for some of us in this place, the reason I'm sharing this today is I believe that it feels like that we've been suffering in the heat of the desert. I know we're coming into the middle of November, but it sort of feels like the heat is on. I sort of can understand when Paul said, I'm hard pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. And so it sort of, to me, feels like that we're in what could be a desert. We're in a place where things aren't coming easily and things aren't coming quickly. And there's areas of our life, if not many areas of our life, where there's areas where we're desperate and we say, God, I need an answer. God, I need a breakthrough. God, I need a miracle. God, I need to hear your voice. God, I need to know that I know that I know. God, I need your help in an area. And like the children of Israel, as they traveled, and even when they got to the place of Marah and they complained because it wasn't ideal, and yet God said, throw the water in. God had made provision for them again. And then they travel on and they get to the place of Elam where there's 12 wells and palm trees aplenty. The Bible says that when they get to the place where there's wells and palm trees, that they set up camp. What am I trying to say? Is that God wants to bring you and I to a place where you can rest. So much around us is moving absolutely so fast. Our world is moving fast. The news cycle is fast. Come on. Everything around us, there's so much happening all the time in every capacity of life. If it's not economically, it's political. If it's not political, it's physical. If it's not physical, it's spiritual. If it's not spiritual, there's something emotional. If it's not that, it's something else. If it's not, it's all of the things that are going on around us, and everything's moving so fast, and there's desperation rising in the hearts of people. You want to know why so many people are angry, and you want to know why we're not talking to one another, you want to know why there's so much division. It's because we're pressed. It's because we're desperate. It's because we're desperately looking for things. It's because we're desperately looking for answers. And yet right in the Word of God, right here in Exodus chapter 15, there's a great example of that. When you and I can get desperate enough, there's a couple things that you can't forget. And that is, one, don't allow the desert to overwhelm you to the place that it causes you to forget, like you did for 400 years, how faithful he is. That maybe we just have to grab a tambourine. Text calls it a timbrel, but maybe you just need to grab a tambourine and begin to just dance wildly before God, and begin to dance on what used to dance on you. Begin to dance on what used to attack you. Begin to dance against the things, because there's power in our praise like that. But beyond that, that they get to the place of Elam, and the Bible really helps us understand that even while they were murmuring and complaining and desperate, God had created a prepared place. And the word that I want to be able to leave you with and then introduce you to, because I believe that God wants to bring some of you to a place of rest. I mean, I feel it deep, where he just wants you to rest. Stop trying to figure a lot of things out. He just wants you to rest in where he's placed you. When I went searching some years ago for a word, there was something catastrophic going on in my life. And when I went and I got the word that he gave to the entire congregation, I knew it was for me. Look up. Pastor Mike came over and whispered in my ear. He said, the Lord wants you to look up and rest in his arms. He who abides under the shadow of the Almighty. So I believe that sometimes we get caught up in everything that's not right and everything that's wrong. There's a lot of things that are wrong. Sometimes we just forget to rest in who he is and what he's prepared. He prepared a place of wells with good water. And he gave him the palm trees to catch some shade in the middle of the desert. Remember earlier in the text, he gave him a cloud by day, a pillar of fire by night. Right? A cloud to give him the shade and a pillar of fire to help light their way. Yet here again, he shows up with some palm trees to give him some shade from the heat of the desert. I don't know why I'm changing it up and sharing with you just some highlights of a word that's a lot deeper than I'm giving you. But call on some of you just to rest in where he has you. He wants you just to rest in the moment. He wants some of you to just begin to dance in the desert. Dance and knowing that he's faithful. He's always faithful. He's always faithful to show up. He's always faithful to bring you out. He's always faithful. Even look what Moses spoke to the people. He said that I am the God that heals. None of the diseases that have fallen on the Egyptians will come on you. I am the God that heals you. God wants you to rest in who he is. In other words, trust him. Stop having this thought and this idea that it's not happening, it hasn't happened yet, it's not going to happen. Stop having the idea that you're broke, you've been broke, you're going to continue to be broke. That's not God. That's not what he's saying. He wants you to rest right now in who he is. Meaning, I'm going to trust him. I'm going to lay back against this palm tree. Come on. I'm going to enjoy the well that he's given me. The Bible says the only thing they had to do was set up their tent. In other words, the only thing they had to do was decide, I'm here to stay. We're going to stay for a while. We're going to camp for a while. In other words, you don't have to run anymore looking for the answer. God says it's here. That's what I believe this moment is about. That you and I can stop running from here to here, here and there. Stop searching. I know what it is to run from this place to that place and to listen to this podcast and listen to this preacher and looking for a word. And God says, nope, it's here right now. Everything that you and I have need of is here right now. And I just am bold enough and audacious enough to believe that he's going to show up right now and give you exactly what you need. Audacious enough and bold enough to believe that you might be in the midst of a desert, but you're going to come to your place of Elam. Where he's created places of wells and refreshment for you and a place of shade where you can get up out of the heat of the desert and the things that might be destroying you and taking its toll on you, and that you can find a place of rest right here and right now in his presence. Hallelujah. Are you hearing my heart today? There's so much more to this text, and I'd give it all to you if I felt that's really what the Lord wants us to do, but I want you to stand right now. So if the Lord, we're just going to keep it real simple because I want to be able to have the time that we can pray. Believe God. Let's pray for breakthrough today. Let's believe God for healing, miraculous things. Can we just begin to believe that we're about to take our journey and you're about to step into your place of Elam? Your place of rest. And that everything that you've been desperate to see happen and to receive will be there when you get there. In other words, every child that we've been praying over and that keeps you up at night, and you hear the slightest of noise because you're that on edge with your peace. Can you dare to believe God that when you get to Elam, that you can just rest in Him and that the answer will be there and that you can trust the process? And I can trust this process with our bodies or our finances or whatever else that's going on. And so let's just keep it simple that if you can identify with what I'm talking about and you're willing to make a journey to Elam, your place of rest, a place where God has created you, palm trees and wells of refreshment, let's come and pray. Let's come and pray for breakthrough, for miracles and deliverance. And let's come together and pray for these things and say, Lord, I'm going to make my journey into Elam, the place that you've prepared for me. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we're going to do it right now without any delay. And if there is nobody, then guess what? You are going to get the privilege of praying with me as I make my journey. Hallelujah. So journey to, I dare you. We used to sing a song back in the day, Dare to Believe. That even mountains will be cast into the sea. Dare to believe. So I want to dare you right now to believe. I want to dare you. And don't treat it like any other altar call. I want you to come and be desperate today. I don't care if you need to stand or kneel. I don't care if you need to lay on your face before God. I don't care if you need to pull a chair up to the altar and just sit and rest under the trees that God has created. It doesn't matter what it is. See, I knew that God needs somebody to dance in the desert. See, it's not often that you can do an altar call and you get 95% of people to respond. Oh, God. So just begin to talk to me. I'm telling you, there's such a presence of the Lord just by you stepping out of your chair and stepping into this moment and this presence. What you've done already is symbolic. I believe you've just stepped into your breakthrough. I believe you've just stepped into something prophetically where it is your place and your season of rest. I believe that God is meeting you right here and right now where you are. I believe that because you stepped out, you dared to believe that mountains would be cast into sea. You dared to believe that the devil would be rebuked. You dared to believe that the word of God is more true and more right than all the whispers of the devil. That I believe that what has been inside of you and the vision you've had and the belief that you've had, that yes, it's gotten quiet, but I believe just by stepping out that voice is going to rise up within you and that it's going to begin to speak loudly and boldly through you. I believe that you're going to begin to believe and trust in the old visions and the old dreams that you've had again. I believe that you're going to trust in God in ways like you've never trusted Him in a while, because the desert has taken its toll on you. And if you and I aren't careful, we're going to allow what's happening in our nation to take its toll on us. But that's why God's created this place at Elam. He's created a place where He's got palm trees and wells that you didn't even have to dig. Remember the word of God that says He'll give you houses you didn't have to build and vineyards you didn't even have to plant. Come on, somebody. That's what this is. This is God's provision for you. He said, I've created a place for you. Just like He said in His word that He'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He'll give you a place of rest. So, Father, we thank you today. God, we praise you right now in this place. I thank you that, God, that you've seen us. I thank you that, God, that you've seen us in the desert. I thank you that, God, that you've seen us. I thank you that, Lord, you've seen us in our place of desperation. I thank you that, God, even now, Lord, that, Lord, you hear us when we cry, just like you heard the children of Israel, that, God, you don't always hear from us, but, God, when we cry. God, when we cry, you hear us. Ugh. play this. Actually, play with laying hands. I believe God. There's such a great presence here. That I've been in His presence in many places, at Benny Hinn's conference when he came to Pittsburgh last. Some of you got to go. They were such a presence of the Lord at that place. God did supernatural things. Even when He didn't touch nobody. Will you just take these next 30, 60 seconds and just receive from heaven? Because He's here. Your palm trees are present. Your wells have been dug. And He just wants you to now rest. Rest and just receive with what He's given you. Just receive it. Father, I thank You that we're not running anymore. I thank You that, God, we don't have to run anymore. Thank You that, God, right now in this moment, that everything that You've promised has been made available and we receive it. God, we receive supernatural healing. Healing. God, the same God that caused my nodules in my throat to go down. The same God that has brought people out of wheelchairs, caused limbs to grow in this place. The same God that has healed cancer, Lord, heal now. In the name of Jesus, Your word declares that it is by Your stripes that we were healed. So, Father, we just decree and declare healing over every malfunction, over every ailment, over every part of the body that's disintegrating, every area or limb or organ of the body that seems to not be operating and cooperating, God, and how You created it. God, I just speak the very authenticity, God, of how You created our bodies to function. I speak to every nerve ending. God, we speak to every muscle and ligament, God, within our bodies. We command them to function. We command dead nerves to come to alive in Jesus' name. We command blinded eyes to begin to be open. God, we command hearing that has been hindered and where hearing aids have been needed. We just say to those ears, open up in the name of Jesus. God, we command diabetes and every other malfunction and disease of the body and in the blood, God, right now. I thank You that it is Your DNA that flows through our veins. And so, God, you're not sick. God, you're not crippled. God, you're not malfunctioned in any way. So God, let the real, true, genuine DNA of Jesus Christ begin to flow and move through our bodies in the name of Jesus. I thank You, Father. I praise You, God. In this moment, God, do it. Do it. Lord, we receive this moment. We receive that You brought us to our Elam. And so God, we're going to receive everything that you had prepared for us. Our healing, our miracle. God, I thank You that our children that has given us sleepless nights. And God has caused us to become weary and caused us to sometimes doubt. God, I thank You. God, we thank You. God, You may not have heard from them for a while. God, I'm grateful that You're going to hear their cry when they call. So God, we find rest and peace under the palm trees and with the wells that You've given. Because when our child, when our grandchildren call, You'll answer. You'll answer, and so we're thankful. Now, Father, I pray. And God, we know we're still in the desert. When we leave this place, we're going to be confronted with the desert on the news. and at the workplace. But God, one thing we will do, even though we're in the desert, is we will dance in the desert. But we will dance on what has been dancing on us. We will overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And we will not be defeated, and we will not go quietly into the night, but that, God, we will dance and we'll praise you right in the desert, because you're faithful. You're always faithful. And Lord, we give you the praise for how faithful you are. Now finally, Lord, do these final moments whatever needs to be done. I pray that we receive from the heavens right now, in the name of Jesus, everything that we have need of. Thank you for my Eva. Thank you for the resort that you've just placed us in. Thank you for this new place where we can rest and trust you like never before. Jesus, your name. Jesus, your name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Dance in the desert. Dance in the desert this week. If you need to still just seek the Lord, just do it. Just tarry. Nobody's making you stop. Just receive the Lord and dance in the desert wherever you go. Confront every desert with a dance this week. Hallelujah. Confront every desert with a dance. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.